much can happen around the globe that we never hear of.
I really share in our fans' disappointment, frustration. Honestly, I'm embarrassed.
They've been through some tough battles, right? They know what the playoffs looks like. This team's been battle-tested in the playoffs.
He's a piece of crap. The kid, he sucks. He's sucked his whole career.
I got rumors about him. I couldn't please his wife, so now he's divorced.
Put a damn winning team on the field.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, last night we had Game 3 of the NBA Finals, which the Indiana Pacers took a 2-1 series lead by outscoring the Thunder 32-18 en route to a 116-107 victory. Now, Tyrese Haliburton in the game, 22 points, 9 rebounds, and 11 assists. And, you know, with the chatter of the Pacers being a more team-oriented system, Haliburton not having to score 40 points a night, some people taking notice of that, and Haliburton taking notice of those talks.
The commentary is always going to be what it is. You know, most of the time, the talking heads on the major platforms, I couldn't care less, honestly. Like, what do they really know about basketball? But I think as a group, you know, and watching film myself, seeing where I can get better is important. Experience is the best way that I can learn from it. So seeing where I could be better is important through the first two games, and just trying to be better today.
Haliburton's scoring average to the finals so far, 15.5 points per game, finals MVP levels.
Well, I don't know if it's finals MVP levels for typical finals. Yeah, but he was incredibly poised yesterday, and he was pushing. He knew when to take the shots. He looked a little confused, honestly, in the first two games. So he was a lot more aggressive, and they need that. They absolutely need that. Especially, there were long stretches in that fourth quarter without Pascal Siakam. So you're looking around going, who is going to make the big plays against this ferocious defense? And he was the guy to do it. In connecting on those threes and also getting everybody involved.
He's also full of it. He absolutely cares what the talking heads say. It fuels him, and you're more than welcome to say that, but he probably wants to keep them saying such things, so it fuels him, or he doesn't want it to put a red-hot spotlight on it that he gets fueled by, because, boy, if you go out there and you have another great game, that's great, but if you have another, which he's capable of doing, 8-point performance out there,
I wouldn't be surprised.
You are going to get hammered.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the next game. See, the weird thing about him and all his heroics and now this push, Kenny, you were talking face of the league after game one, is that he's not good enough. So he's been spectacular at times, but he's really not good enough. Like, he could never go out there and do some of the things Donovan Mitchell does. You couldn't say, Tyrese, I need you to get 40 in this next game or we have no shot. Well, then you'd probably lose. He can't do that. He's just not good enough. He's good at other things, way better than guys like Donovan Mitchell, a lot of other things. But that's not it. So that's why it's hard for America to come to grips with him being face of the league, with him being a top 10 player.
Not even top 10 player, not even top 15. He wasn't even all NBA this season.
No.
Which is unbelievable. Yesterday, we had the Cleveland Guardians, speaking of unbelievable, breaking out the bats yesterday against the Cincinnati Reds. 11-2, a grand slam from Carlos Santana, a 3-run home run from Lane Thomas, giving a good feeling, according to manager Stephen Vogt.
Anytime you go out and score double-digit runs, it's a good feeling. And Logan threw the ball outstanding as well. I mean, it kind of gets lost in the shuffle when you're scoring that much, but Logan was outstanding today. So this is a big win. I mean, every win is big right before you get on a cross-country flight, and it's a good feeling to get on the plane.
Speaking of Santana and Thomas, I have been faked out two nights in a row on home runs that they have hit or non-home runs they have hit. Yesterday, Lane Thomas's home run on the TV channel looked like a foul ball. The one the night before on Carlos Santana, the final out in the 1-0 game, looked like a walk-off home run. Thoughts?
Still a little bit early in the season. Camera guys got to get it all together.
Well, I'm not blaming the camera guys for that. It's just more so the moment.
Well,
it's more so the moment where I'm like, oh.
Well, there's nothing else you can do about something like that then. That's just baseball.
Well,
I didn't think Carlos Santana's was questionable at all. I'm surprised to hear that from you.
We were talking about
your eyesight checked.
The differences in these ballparks, like in Yankee Stadium, every pop fly to right, the fans are getting up. They think it's a home run. So you, in turn, think it's a home run. And then when the announcer starts to raise their voice, you think it's a home run only to see, oh, it's a routine, shallow pop-up, didn't even make it to the warning track.
That's why you should be defensive of John Sterling throughout his career when he would accidentally get a pop fly that he thought was a home run, because it was a short porch at both places that he was the play-by-play broadcaster of. Now, do I need to talk about the run bank, or are you going to bring that up here? Do you want me to bring up the run bank?
You can bring up the run bank.
Okay, so I did get asked a question from somebody on social media that they had an idea, and they kind of run past us, that the differential, because the Guardians won 11-2 yesterday, was going to help. Right now, the diff is minus 14. We are 14 under with runs. I look at the Tigers, for example. They're 80 plus 85. And he said there should be a run bank where you get to use runs that you're in the plus, but he doesn't know what it would cost. And I said, this is easy. Runs are so precious. I think you should be able to use one run for every 50 you're up. So right now the Tigers are able to use one run, and they would have credit for 35 runs towards the next one that they're able to use. The Chicago Cubs, they can use two runs because they are up 103 runs. So in any game, say you're tied, bottom of the ninth.
Oh, so you don't
you do not want to go. You do not want to go to your bullpen. You got to go. I'm using a run. Goodbye.
That's not a run bank, though.
Yeah, it is. Why would
you're
it be
not
a bank?
Storing runs? You're getting run credits.
Okay. What? Yeah, but all. Okay. Well, we're not on the gold system anymore. So all it is
we're
numbers
on the run
anyway.
System. I got.
Okay, well, I got these numbers
makes more sense to be able to use them. You have to earmark them before a game where, let's say, you're going up against the best pitcher in baseball.
That's good stuff.
I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to use one run today. So we start the game out up 1-0 and see how it changes the complexion of the game and the strategy.
Yeah, because that kills. You know what? I think Lima's actually right, because it kills the momentum if it's like, all right, we're down by one going to the bottom of the ninth. I don't even want to mess with it. I'm going to use two runs. It's like, well, now people are going to go home mad.
Yeah, they
don't
get to see it.
But if Lima says, you know what? We're going to use one run.
Okay, but what happens when you're down 50 runs?
How did you acquire this run to use, though?
You scored 50 runs up. You're 50 plus up. So, again, the Mets are plus 94. They almost have two runs that they can use as credit for the future.
For yesterday's game for us, we're negative 14.
Well, that's why we have to start scoring some more damn runs.
I'm trying to
incorporate
the game where we won by nine.
Is that what happens when you
fall? Is there an overdraft fee?
Now, hold on. What if you're down 50 runs? Can the other team grab a run? They say, hey, you guys lose a run for the next game.
I have to figure something punitive for that. Give me some time. Go ahead, Mitch.
Well, I was going to say, the last thing I had here was Nick Chubb talking about his Houston Texans press debut yesterday.
I was questioning why they wanted me, and then I came here and I saw a bunch of guys who like to work and not talk, and I realized that I'm a perfect fit. So I realized why they wanted me here, and I'm excited about it.
It's like two straight days we've had a Nick Chubb clip. I mean, will the guy stop talking? Seems like every day something's flying out
of
his mouth.
He's become one of the most talkative guys in the NFL.
Won't shut up.
Not the Nick Chubb I knew.
He's practically taking over for Arsenio Hall over there. Oh my God, he's just
what if we see a totally different Nick Chubb this year, where he's jawing with opponents, he's taking cheap shots.
If I ask
he's
this question,
getting in guys' face, he's stepping over him after he stiff arms him.
If I ask this question, am I going to get in trouble for even asking it from the fans?
Hard to say.
I was with a bunch of guys who like to work and not talk. He didn't mean nothing by that, did he? He didn't mean nothing by that.
You want to play it again, Mitch? Can you fire it back up?
Get it back up here.
To see how it works?
See if I can find something.
Because
I'm
just living through
it. Here we go.
You know, I was questioning why they wanted me. And then I came here and I saw a bunch of guys who like to work and not talk. And I realized that I'm a perfect fit. So I realized why they wanted me here. And I'm excited about it.
Okay. He was very careful.
I don't want to distort Nick's words.
He was careful. He didn't say, like, in a new capacity or, hey, it'll be nice to finally be with the team. He didn't say anything like that to
compared
denigrate
to my previous stuff.
But there is no doubt the entire defense did a dance, did about 50 Lord of the Dances there, every game, and they only won three games last year.
See, that's why I got to wonder, because you did play for a team that loves to talk. And Lima's right. I mean, they were Michael Flatley out there, even in losses.
It's an encore again. Everybody back up.
Greg Newsom is planning a full production of West Side Story if he scores a defensive touchdown this year.
And then they'll post it to TikTok. That's it for about last night.
Wow, do you see what he did over there? Yeah.